Our scripture passage this afternoon is from Luke 6. You can find it on page 10 in the bulletin or projected behind me. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The word of the Lord.
Good afternoon. It's good to be able to look at this passage together. Kids, if you've got your children's bulletin, I'll give you a couple of things to be listening for. The first one is the movies. Second is a carrot. And third is a bucket filler. So, movies, a carrot, and a bucket filler. So, let me pray for us as we look at this passage together. Lord God, you're kind to us in all that you do. We thank you for your word, that it is truth and life to us. Would you teach us? Would you meet us here by your Spirit? Work in our hearts to make Jesus more beautiful and believable to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought for just a second about getting Brendan to read 1 Samuel 17, which I preached last week, which the TCU kids would have heard for a third time, but it didn't work. So Brian mentioned earlier, he is going to pick up the first section of three on the Sermon on the Plain. So a lot of folks are more familiar with Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5 through 7, our men's and women's Bible studies are looking at those this semester. The Sermon on the Plain is Luke's version of those sermons, and it's a little bit different. There's a lot of similar themes. And the first section in the Sermon on the Mount and on the Sermon on the Plain is the Beatitudes. And Luke's version has blessings and woes. Excited to hear Brian preach that next week. But that really talks about the character of a disciple. And then the second part looks at love, this ethic of love for the Christian. If you are going to follow Jesus, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, what does it look like? How should we treat others? What kind of love will we have for those around us? And so when we get into it, you know, this week appropriately is Valentine's Day week. All of the, I guess there aren't a ton of Valentine's Day specific movies, but the rom-coms are everywhere. And there is this sort of saccharine view of love that's rooted in our feelings and maybe changes as much as Fort Worth weather. It's just sort of all over the place. Whether you're feeling it or not determines your love and how you treat other folks. The Avett Brothers, this is printed in your bulletin, they summarize this well in their song about the movies. It says this: so you want to be in love like the movies, but in the movies they're not in love at all. And with a twinkle in their eyes, they're just saying their lines, so we can't be in love like the movies. Now in the movies, they make it look so perfect. And in the background, they're always playing the right song. And in the ending, there's always a resolution, but real life is more than just 2 hours long. And I think if you've lived for a while in community with folks, if you've been married for long, if you've dated before, even in school, our middle school and high school kids, as you think about love, you know it's harder than that, right? That it isn't as easy as just falling in love in 2 hours. And obviously, if you've had any familiarity with the biblical passages, not just this one here in Luke, but anytime Jesus talks about love, you get a very different picture of what love actually looks like. Jesus says here, he gives us in our passage, if you look at verses 32 to 34, he starts out with this description of ordinary love, and it's almost transactional. You get the picture that sinners, even sinners, those who don't have any concept of God's ethic of love, they take care of people. They love those who love them, verse 32. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. This version of love is very transactional. We're trying to get something back in return for our love. We give so that we can get. And that's everywhere in our culture. We see that all over the place. We can probably, if we were sitting at tables over a meal, discuss the ways that we did that in our youth, the ways that we loved so that we could have that feeling of being loved. There's just something to it. It's why folks get puppies, right? There is unconditional love, right, that is poured out to us. And that is a great feeling, something to be cherished. But it can be fleeting if all we're doing is trying to get something in return. Tim Keller uses this great story. It's from Charles Spurgeon originally. I first heard it from a Tim Keller sermon. And he talks about a king ruling a land. And there was a gardener in that land who grew an enormous carrot. And he brought it to the king and said, "My lord, this is the greatest carrot I've ever grown or ever will grow. I want to present it to you as a token of my love and respect for you." The king was touched and discerned the man's heart. And so as he turned to go, the king said, "Wait, you are clearly a good steward of the earth. I want to give a plot of land to you freely as a gift, so you can garden it all. You can garden it all." The gardener was amazed and delighted and went home rejoicing. There was a nobleman at the king's court who overheard this conversation. And he said, "My, if that is what you get for a carrot, what if you gave the king something better?" The next day, the nobleman came before the king, and he was leading a handsome black stallion. He bowed low and said, "My lord, I breed horses, and this is the greatest horse I've ever bred or ever will. Therefore, I want to present it to you as a token of my love and respect for you." But the king discerned his heart and said, "Thank you." And he took the horse and simply dismissed him. The nobleman was perplexed, and so the king said, "Let me explain. That gardener was giving me the carrot, but you were giving yourself the horse." Do you see the transactional nature there? I want to give this, but it's only so that I can get in return. Those are the characteristics of ordinary love that Jesus describes here. But he says that the character of the disciple, the love of a disciple, is going to look very different than that. The extraordinary love of a disciple is described in 27 through 31. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies." Again, Brian mentioned this earlier. This would have been so countercultural. The Jews of this day were being oppressed by the Romans. They didn't have their freedom, and so to think of loving a Roman was absurd. It was really difficult. Most of the conflicts in the early church surrounded Jews and Gentiles trying to get along together. It was truly countercultural to love your enemies. Jesus goes on to describe what that love for your enemies looks like. "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. He describes first this proactive nature of love. It's not simply that you receive the blows from your enemies without retaliating. That would be commendable, right? We would say to someone who takes a blow or takes an insult, who stands silent in the face of suffering, that's to be commended. But Jesus says, don't just do that, but be proactive in your love. Do good to those who harm you, to those who mistreat you. Pray for them. He says this extraordinary love is to be costly. It's to cost you something. In the face of someone who takes your cloak, your outer garment, or your coat, don't withhold your tunic either, your shirt, your undershirt. Go ahead and give that as well, that there is this costly side to this extraordinary love, that we're to be generous, sacrificially generous towards those who might take from us. Verse 29 says, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. The cheek part there, getting hit on the cheek, it's really, scholars think, talking about an insult. That this would be sort of the backhanded slap or, you know, metaphorical slap of an insult. This verse has been used wrongly to justify maybe wives staying with husbands who abuse them. And that is not at all what Jesus is trying to communicate here. He is saying that in the face of an insult that we receive, we don't retaliate, but we move towards them in love and in sacrificial generosity. He goes on, give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. We are to be radically generous, not just to those who can pay us back, not just to those who we know are good for it, but to those who are in need. We're to seek out and find places where we can extend that love to those who may mistreat us or hurt us. It's incredibly countercultural. I've heard about it in kindergarten classes. I didn't find any particular Fort Worth schools that use this, but it's pretty common across the country. This curriculum that some schools are using called bucket fillers. Whether you're a bucket filler or a bucket dipper. Okay, anybody familiar? Some of you maybe have heard this before. Okay, so a bucket, everybody has this imaginary bucket, and it represents your sort of mental or emotional health. This is not necessarily a Christian presentation, but it's how healthy, how well you're doing. And a full bucket means you're doing really well, and an empty bucket means you're not doing very well at all. And we also have a ladle. Everybody has this dipper, right? And so you're either filling people's buckets or you're taking from people's buckets as you interact during the day. And the curriculum helps students think about being kind and being generous and being helpful and having a positive outlook and all of these things. But I think the concept is a helpful one for us. You probably can think of times in your own life where things have been really hard and you have been a bucket dipper. You've been taking from everyone else's buckets just to keep your own bucket full. And maybe there are times that you can think of where you've been a bucket filler, where you've really cared well for those around you. You have done this enemy love. You've taken care of those who've hurt you, or you've been radically generous to them and you're filling their bucket. I think that's a great picture for us of what this looks like. That we aren't filling our own bucket, taking from other people, but that we are radically generous to give of ourselves to others, to see their buckets filled. Not just our friends and family, those closest to us and those that we like, but even those who would do us harm or those who would be our enemies It may be a little bit weird to even think about this concept of an enemy. Like, who are the people that I need to love in this way? And I would think one way to think about that is simply those who you're thinking of right now. Right? That there are people. It could be the guy that cut you off on the way to church this afternoon. It could be someone on the other end of the phone, the technical support phone call that you've had to make, right? That feels like your enemy, like their sworn goal is just to frustrate you. It could be somebody that you interact with on a regular basis, that person at your office that is the bucket dipper, that is constantly a drain on you. That's the person that you are to be a bucket filler to. It would be easy to stop here, to think about leaving here, sort of like last week. If you were here last week, the be like David version of this is go be a bucket filler. Like, go give of yourself radically and generously towards those that are mean to you or frustrate you. But that is a gospel-less instruction. Jesus doesn't tell us to do it because we have the gumption in us to be sacrificial and to be generous. No, there's something else to it. There's a motive behind this enemy love. And it's hereditary. Do you see it? At the end of the chapter, or the end of this passage, 35 and 36. We love our enemies because it's in our genes. It's who our father is. And so because he loved that way, that's how we're supposed to love. But it's even more specific than that. It's not just that God is this loving God who takes everyone and accepts everyone. It's that he did that for you. He did that when you were his enemy. There's a great parable that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans and the Jews were enemies. And the story goes that someone is on the side of the road. They've been beaten by robbers. They're in really bad health. And a priest walks by and a Levite walks by, and they both ignore this obviously wounded man on the side of the road. And a Samaritan comes along and takes care of him, binds his wounds, gets him a place to stay, takes care of him, all of those things. And that picture is really great. And it could be, again, be like David. Go be the good Samaritan. Be the Samaritan for your neighbor. Which is certainly true. We want to do that. But that's not who you are in the story. In the story, you are wounded. You need a Samaritan to come to your aid. You need someone who comes and puts you onto the horse and takes you to get medical care and sees to your physical needs to make sure you have food and shelter, all of those things. You need someone who has done that for you. And that's exactly what Jesus in his life and death and resurrection does for us. When we were his enemies, Christ died for us. He sacrificed. He did all of those things for us. We are recipients of this extraordinary love. And when that hits home, when you recognize that that is true of you, that Jesus on the cross took away your sin, took away the enmity between you and God, it will radically transform the capabilities that you have to love. Your capacity to love is completely transformed when you recognize how well you have been loved, how completely you have been loved and cared for. Last thing, we don't just recognize that God is loving, we recognize that he loved his enemies when he loved us. And then we reflect that character to the world. It is a sad fact of the history of the church that there have been many times where the church has been characterized by the ordinary transactional love that Jesus doesn't commend here. That we have been guilty of loving those who are powerful or who are wealthy or who have status. We have been guilty of only loving those who will benefit us. And Jesus says here that that's not the kind of love that God wants us to reflect to the world. When we love the way that he loved us, we show the watching world what God's love is like. We show this radical, enemy-loving, sacrificially generous love of Jesus towards his people when we love that way. Leviticus 19, which we read earlier in the worship service, is not just arbitrary. It is not as if God sat down and said, I think my people should be like this. All of the law that God gives is a reflection of his nature and his character. And he wants his people that he is in a special relationship with to extend that love into the world so that the world knows the character of the God that we worship. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Verse 36 and verse 35. But love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. February, we'll close with this. February is also Black History Month. And while the church has been riddled with examples of poor love, Black History Month celebrates some African American brothers and sisters who loved their enemies, who reflected the enemy-loving, sacrificially generous character of God to the watching world. And so I would encourage you, if you have access to materials on brothers and sisters who've gone before us or are currently fighting fights like that, find one or two people, read an autobiography, study up on the internet, find some saints who have displayed this character, this beautiful, sacrificially generous, at great cost to themselves, who've moved towards their enemies, reflecting the character and nature of our covenant-keeping God. There are beautiful stories out there. It's important for us to know those stories and to cherish those as examples for us of what it looks like to move towards our enemies, to love as God has loved us, and as we're to reflect his love to the world. It's not something we do in our own strength. It's something that when our buckets are filled by the gracious love, the mercy of God in Christ, that we're then able to move towards others. Let me close this in prayer. Lord God, you are kind. Father, we thank you for saints who've gone before, who are examples of this kind of radically generous love. We thank you for Jesus, who did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. Lord, we thank you for the length that you went to demonstrate your love for your enemies, that you have purchased redemption for us, that we are fully loved and fully accepted, not because we do this well, but you did that as when we were enemies. Father, we thank you for your grace towards us. We pray that you would fill us, give us all that we need to move towards people, to be proactive towards them in love. Thank you that it reflects your character to the watching world. Would many come to know the beautiful picture of the gospel because of the way that we care for our friends and neighbors and our enemies. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.